All right, so for the interest of time, I know we have a lot to cover, and I don't want to go over too much, and so I want to give time at the end for Q&A if you have any questions, and if I have any answers. That's going to be the big one, if I have any answers. What was that? This does not cover flip phones. No, it does not. That's not the... Look at the title of the session is smartphone, see? The smartphone and its impact on our culture, our families, and ourselves. Let me ask a question while we are getting, as people are still coming in. Who has a smartphone? Go ahead and take your smartphone out. I know you have it on you. Pick it up. Hold it up in the air. Let's just, everybody show off our smartphones. You don't have it with you. That's all right. That's okay. Okay, who does have something other than a smartphone? Like, who has an old school flip phone? Let's hear it for the flip phone. Hey. Let me ask you another question. Who was in this session 2 years ago? I did this session 2 years ago. Was anybody in this session 2 years ago? Okay, Cal, yeah. Do you really want to hear this again? This session, my smartphone session. You were here. Anybody else? Was anybody else here for that? Okay. So there are some updated parts of this, but it doesn't really matter since Cal's the only one who was there 2 years ago. So it's all new to everybody else, which is great. I'm going to pray, and then we will jump into this session. Let's just ask God for his wisdom, and we will jump in. All right. Lord God, thank you for this time to be together today. Thanks for the opportunity to have fellowship with brothers in Christ. I thank you for all the different ages and walks of life that we all come from, yet we have one thing in common, that is Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I pray that you bless us in this time as we think about the smartphone and its impact on ourselves, on our culture, our families, people around us. Lord, give us wisdom as we look into just what's happening in our culture and then what your word has to say about all of it. And may we submit and put ourselves underneath the authority of your word. I pray your spirit would lead us through this conversation and that you'd be glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, so this is a session that is called One Screen to Rule Them All. Now, if you go to the next, you can see... There's going to be a lot of content here. I'm going to be referencing articles, books. I'm going to have a lot of points. And I know some of you are note takers. And when you go to church, you just want to make sure you get all the blanks filled in. If you don't have a blank filled in, you feel like you've lost your salvation. Okay, so don't worry about that so much because I do have all of my notes from this session. There's 8 pages. Okay. So you're not going to fill it in on one little half sheet. If you really like to take notes and you really want the notes from this session, I will email them to you if you email me. That's all you got to do. Just email me and you can actually use your smartphone to email me. And I will send you my notes on a Word document with the links and all the resources that I have, okay? So why this title? Why this title, One Screen to Rule Them All? Does anybody think that sounds familiar from something?
Yeah, it's like if you grab your phone, you might
Well, yeah, there you go. Lord of the Rings. Let's show you. Yeah, so remember the story. It was one ring to rule them all. So that's the idea I have here. So thinking about the evolution of the phone, just the phone. The phone, the telephone, used to look like this. Did anybody remember? Does anybody remember a phone like that? I do not. Okay, let's go to the next one. Anybody remember a phone like this? Good old rotary, right? Okay, what about this phone? Remember when that happened? That was like revolutionary. You didn't have to buy a super long cord and you can walk around the house with the only problem is if you put it down somewhere you don't remember where it was, then it rings. Where's the phone? That's what happens in my parents' house all the time. And then we had our cell phone. Anybody remember that phone? Anybody have one of those phones? Okay. All right, let's go to the next one. And now, of course, we have the best and the brightest, all right? One screen to rule them all. Because we have a lot of screens in our lives. We have our computer screen. We have tablets. We have big screen TVs. We have all kinds of screens in our lives. But I believe that the smartphone is the one that rules over all, trumps all, right? Yeah, so we have smartphones, and it is the one screen to rule them all. Now, I want to say something before we go into talking about the dangers, the pitfalls of the smartphone. Because I'm not against smartphones. I have one. My wife has one. My oldest daughter, who is here helping me out today, she's going to actually talk a little bit later. She has a smartphone. She's in high school. So I don't believe that the smartphone is evil, okay? Any more than money is evil. Now, the abuse of money is evil, right? The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, the Bible says, right? The smartphone is not evil in and of itself, but it can be used for evil. So there's a distinction there. So we shouldn't be afraid of technology. We shouldn't be afraid of the smartphone. It's not a bad thing in and of itself. In fact, the smartphone is used for a lot of good things. Oftentimes, I'll use my smartphone in the morning, and I'll be listening to a podcast that's talking about culture. I have a Bible app on my phone. In fact, when I was at a conference recently, a couple years ago, I was sitting in the upper balcony in Louisville at T4G, and they said, open your Bibles to this passage. And we weren't allowed to bring bags into the arena. So it's like, you don't want to bring a Bible with you because you got to carry it with you. And so guess what guys did? Take a look. They opened their Bibles on their smartphones. So smartphones can be a very, very helpful thing. Do you use your GPS on your smartphone? I do all the time. We don't have to have the, you know, GPS device that was like separate. Remember when there was that GPS that you had on your dashboard? And you don't have to have it. You can use it on your smartphone. Or you want to know, oh, what's the temperature outside? Instead of trying to go on the TV, oh, when's the weather going to be on? You can just look on your smartphone. There's so many good uses that the smartphone gives to us. It's in a lot of ways, the smartphone has made our lives easier. So I'm not here to condemn the smartphone at all whatsoever. However, there are some concerns, there are some problems that we can run into with the smartphone. So I'm going to talk about that. So here's problem number one. Problem number one is that phones have us, we don't have them. What do I mean by that? You get sucked into your phone and it owns you. And you don't even realize it's happening. Why is that? Because there's so many cool things we can do on our phone, right? The smartphone is amazing, and the technology just gets better and better and better. And so I've got a little video I'm going to show you that is very culturally relevant. So this is the new iPhone can do these slow motion videos. Take a look at this. So it's really cool what you can do. And if you've ever seen teenagers outside restaurants like Starbucks or, you know, places for coffee, that, and they're dancing and someone's videoing them, they're making a TikTok. Okay, that, if you ever wonder what they're doing, if they've lost their minds, they're making a video for TikTok. We're going to talk about TikTok in a little bit. But let's take a look at this other video. And this is a little bit longer, about 4 minutes long. This is Simon Sinek, and he talks about how our phones can own us. So take a look at this video.
We know that engaging with social media and our cell phones releases a chemical called dopamine. That's why when you get a text, it feels good, right? So, you know, we've all had it. We're feeling a little bit down, we're feeling a little lonely. And so you send out 10 texts, it'll make your life worse.
That's encouraging. That's a very helpful video. It is a problem. Phones have us, we don't have them. That's the first problem. Here's the second problem. Here's the second problem is that we are addicted to distraction. We are addicted to distraction. In his book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, Tony Reinke says this. He says, this is a good book. I have it with me if you want to just look at it after the session. He says this. He says, let me read it, the quote here. He says, we ignore our flesh and blood. And my sister, who's worked with college students for many years, well over a decade, has seen that change as the smartphone has kind of exploded, where she's sitting at a table, they went out to dinner, and they're all sitting around a booth at a restaurant, and all of them are like this. She's like, what are you doing? We're together. So her tagline she likes to use is this, and I use this at home. Be present. Be present. You're not being present. You're on the phone. You're on your smartphone. You're checking whatever on your smartphone. Be present. Put it away. Put it away. Don't even have it out on the table. Put it in your pocket. Put it away. And we have to work on that. It's a discipline that It's a boundary that is wise and good. So be present. My kids have actually told me that because I'll be checking a sports score or I'm reading an article and they're in the room and I'm not, it's rude and we don't realize it. So be present. That's an important thing. We are addicted to distraction. Okay, so here's the next one. Be present. We don't even know how to have conversations with people anymore because we're looking at our phone all the time. So in any moment of any kind of solitude or quiet where our brain can just sort of rest, rather than dealing with that moment of a few moments where we're waiting in line for something and we're doing this. You know, you've been there. You're at the line at Walmart or you're at an airport and you're waiting to get on the airplane and no one looks at each other in the eye anymore. They're all just looking at their phones like this. We're addicted to distraction. That's why. So let's look at problem number three. Problem number three is smartphones are creating havoc in the lives of teenagers. We're going to take a good amount of time on this. But don't zone out because a lot of these principles can apply to all people. But there's an article that appeared in The Atlantic in September of 2017 entitled, Have Smartphones Destroyed an Entire Generation? It's by Jean Twenge. She recently wrote a book called iGen, which I have a link if you want to know more about that. But this article, I think, exploded into this book called iGen. Tons of research that she had done on the smartphone. I would encourage you to take time to read this article. It's really well done. But the article is summed up like this, and that is, she says this, more comfortable online than out partying, post-millennials are safer physically than adolescents have ever been, but they're on the brink of a mental health crisis. This is a really fascinating read, and it's also very troubling because I have a 14-year-old, almost 15, and a 12-year-old, and a 7-year-old, and they're all exposed to devices of some kind. So let's just quickly take a look at five graphs that appeared in this article. I want to show them to you, and we're not going to take a long time to look at this, but this is based on 25 plus years of research. This is what we've been seeing, this trend. In 2007, the iPhone was released, and you can see the major drop-off where kids, teenagers, aren't really hanging out with their friends anymore. They'd rather just sit in their room by themselves and be on their smartphone. Go to the next one. They're in no rush to drive. This was kind of surprising to me because I remember when I was 15 and a half, I was ready to get my driver's license. But a lot of students are now putting it off. Eh, that's okay. I don't need to do it. And it's all in the article. You can read about it. There's less dating. This percentage of teenagers who ever go out on dates, it is plummeting since the iPhone was released, the first smartphone in 2007. And go to the next slide. And less sex. So there's this percentage of high school students who have ever had sex. Now that sounds like, hey, well, that's probably a good trend. And it is, I think, to some extent. They may be physically safer, right? They're not going out, they're not partying, they're not having sex. But as parents, and I'm a parent, we may feel like we have more control because we know where our kids are. But do we really? Do we know where they are online? Do we know what they're looking at? What apps they have on their phone? Do we know what conversations they're having? So there's some deep and troubling things that students do online. It's a very dark and depressing place, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But look at this next one. Look at the skyrocketing percentages of students who feel lonely. Since the iPhone was released, it has gone up to rates we haven't seen in 30 years. Go to the next one. And they're less likely to get enough sleep. Why do you think that is? Yeah. Yeah, they might be on their phone in their room, maybe, checking stuff. Yeah, uh-huh.
The blue light on the phone makes it a lot harder to sleep.
Blue light on the phone, yeah, good. Yeah, they're...
Texting in the middle of the night.
Texting, yeah. Nope. Got to check my status, check my likes, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, it's a black hole. We're going to talk about that. So yeah, you guys are all on the right track here. I believe that in the article, Twenge says that there was a girl who woke up in the middle of the night and her bed was on fire. because her smartphone had gotten too hot because it was under her pillow. She slept with her phone.
Was it a Note 7?
I don't know. I don't know which phone it was, but her phone caught on fire, her pillow caught on fire. She was okay. She survived. Her pillow did not survive. But that's a problem, don't you think? That is a problem. And they're not getting enough sleep. Now, I'll tell you this. I do check my daughter's phone often. And in the morning, I'll come down to the kitchen. We have actually a charging station where we all turn our phones in at night. I have to keep my phone by my bed. It's not really a temptation for me to be doing stuff late at night. So I keep it by my bed because of I'm a pastor. So if I need get a phone call in the middle of the night, I need to be available. But the rest of our family, we have a charging station and everything is turned in. Okay. So I'll come downstairs and I'll see my daughter will have gotten a notification and I will look at it and it'll say at 7 a.m, it'll say, 5 hours ago, she got a message or a snap or an Instagram thing, and it was one of her friends. What, at 2 a.m? Yeah. They're up way too late, and so they're not getting enough sleep. All right, let's go to the next one. So this is another article by Jaquelle Crow. She says, this is an article called American Girls and Their Social Media Lives. It's on the Gospel Coalition website. It says, this online world, the one where so many girls are obsessed with the here and now, 18-year-olds make porn on spring break and 14-year-olds spend hours photoshopping their selfies, isn't make-believe. It's a world where girls are preyed upon, objectified, and sexually abused. It is a troubling place. Let's go to the next slide. I think now we're going to get into social media and the aspects of social media. Now, if you think social media is just Facebook, there's a lot more. Okay, Facebook is for old people, I'm told. So if you only are on Facebook, you're probably old, and that's not any offense because I'm on Facebook and so I'm really old too. But teenagers. They don't even want Facebook. They want nothing to do with it. So there's probably infinite amount of different kinds of social media platforms, but the most popular, I would say, are TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat. You could probably add some more. But these social media outlets, social media platforms are easily accessible anytime, anywhere. And where do they look at it? On the computer? No, they use their smartphone. And I call these the black hole. Because we were saying this earlier, you watch one video and then you got to see the next one, the next one, and the next one. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it's an hour later. And these videos are 15 seconds long. It's addicting. Okay, so hours fly by as teens chase amusement, instant fame, or at least acceptance from their peers by posting selfies and videos. Cyberbullying continues to add distress to feelings of FOMO. Anybody know what FOMO is? I'm just quizzing you. Fear of missing out. That's right. Fear of missing out. This puts immense pressure on teens to keep everyone happy and to feel happy, leaving them miserable. Now, again, social media, these apps are not in and of themselves evil. They're actually kind of fun. They can be fun too, with the right balance. They can be fun. And so I'm going to actually hand this over to my daughter. She's going to talk about. She's almost 15. She's a freshman. So let's give her a hand. She's going to talk a little bit about social media.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to talk about social media and the effect it has on teens. I'm going to start off by showing a TikTok of some of my dad, me, and my sister. All right, so I'm going to talk about, I'm going to talk about the three A's of social media. So the appeal, the addiction, and the adverse effects. So starting off the appeal, this is why teens and even like adults are drawn to social media. So there's instant fame, like the app TikTok. You make 15-second videos, whatever kind of videos. Or 60 seconds, that's correct. Dance videos, singing videos, funny videos, any kind of videos. And the way the algorithm works is everybody gets an equal shot at hitting the For You page and being famous. So that right away is appealing. Someone like, oh, I could get 10,000 likes in minutes. And then showing off the perfect you, showing everyone, hey, I've got it all together. I'm good. I'm good right now. And then approval. Everyone is seeking approval. You want someone to see you and say, hey, I see you. You're doing good. You're really pretty. You're really funny. You dance really well. You want approval. And it feels good, like in that video. It sends dopamine and it feels good. Okay. So next, the addiction. So according to Common Sense Media, on average, teens spend about 9 hours on their phones a day. That is a lot. That is a lot. And between social media, music, watching things, texting friends, it adds up very, very quickly. Like in the graphs, losing sleep, and we cannot escape from notifications. I checked on my phone and on screen time, it shows me how many notifications I get a day. And on average, I get about 200 notifications a day. And every time I feel a little buzz in my pocket that immediately takes me away from whatever I'm doing to, oh no, who texted me? Like, what's going on? And so it's very, very distracting. So there's a running joke on TikTok. I downloaded this app as a joke and now I'm addicted. Because you can suspend just hours, one video, another video, and it's a black hole. And then feature turned to obligation. So on Snapchat, if there's a little feature called the Snap Streak. If you snap someone for so many days in a row, it'll add a little number by their name, and then that number will go up how many days in a row you talk to them. And the day you don't talk to them at all, it goes away. So that was once just a fun feature, and now it's an obligation. You have to send out your streaks every day. And some people even get mad if you lose a streak. It puts a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. Like, I have to check it every day. And if you're gone on vacation, you got to get one of your friends to do your streaks for you. You can't lose your streak.
Don't you get a score?
You do get a score. You do get a snap score.
How's my score?
Your score is like 53.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
Unscored.
Is that good?
That's bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one, the adverse effects. So this is like the bad side of social media that's always talked about. So there's drama. People hide behind a screen. They'll say stuff on social media. They'll say stuff on a screen that they're too scared to say in real life because they're not actually talking to you face to face. And that can cause a lot of extra drama because you can't hear tone of voice. You can't hear like their emotions. If they're angry, if they're trying to say it nicely, you can't hear that. So that can create unnecessary drama off of something that wasn't meant to be anything. And then there's obviously cyberbullying, which is a big deal, and self-esteem issues, seeing everyone perfect lives. They're on vacation, they have a lot more money than I do, they're so much prettier than I am, and that's also a black hole. And then absent affirmation. So we're like on the couple slides ago, we were saying like you're looking for approval. If that approval doesn't come, if you're not getting a lot of likes, if you don't get comments, if it can be very, very depressing. Like, what am I doing wrong? Do they not like me? Like, what's wrong? So it puts an immense amount of pressure and stress on teens to always like show that they're enough, show that they're good enough on social media. So that's all I have.
I want to give us a chance. If you want to ask a question to Hannah, get a teen's perspective. That's one of the reasons I thought it would be very valuable for her to be here, because she has a good handle on this. So if anybody has questions they want to ask her, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
On an iPhone, you're able to turn on screen time.
That is true, yeah.
So what does that mean?
The iPhone added a new feature called screen time, and you can turn it on. You can turn on limits for your apps. So once you spend a certain amount of time on that app, screen time will show up and it'll say, your time is out.
And then I used to have it on, and then set a password. So
oh, yeah, that's good.
Knew.
Yeah, that's good. Otherwise, you can click ignore and it'll never bug you again. And that's kind of the downfall of that. It's one tap away from it's not going to bug you for the rest of the day.
Parent to set up.
Yeah. Right. So a parent can see exactly how much time you're spending on each app. Yeah.
And in settings, you can check how long you've been on certain apps for a certain period of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
In school, do they address this issue?
Yeah. So on the school Wi-Fi, they block apps. They block like Snapchat and Instagram and TikTok. But there's definitely ways around that. VPNs can block the restrictions from the school Wi-Fi, and you can always just turn off your Wi-Fi and use your data.
Mm-hmm. You know, one guy even went as far as to say that it's destroying the social fabric of society. Mm-hmm. So is the school addressing those issues with you guys? Are they saying, hey, these are detrimental to your IQ, to your learning, to your growth? I mean, are they putting it in the light, or are they just kind of trying to keep it from it?
They're just trying to, like, keep us away from it. Like, if we can't access it at school, it's not their problem. I feel like that's how I say it. Yeah?
I don't have a question, but what a great job your daughter does. I mean, you're just a natural. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
So, do you have any advice for, like, do you think this is something that, like, the negative effects can be neutralized while still using these apps? Mm-hmm. Or do you think that it can only really be solved by withdrawing?
No, I definitely think that it can be neutralized while still using apps. My big thing would be, if you have something to say to somebody, don't do it passive-aggressively online. Don't text them about it. Do it face-to-face. Like, I've had a lot of problems with that, like even in my friend groups, where people just take stuff to social media. They post about, even like a passive-aggressive, they're like, oh, was this about me? It's like, no, that's just a general post. If you have, like, something you want to say to somebody, say it to them directly. Yeah.
Main and biggest thing on, like, Snapchat is, like, a lot of people send chain mail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really annoying.
What's chain mail?
Where they upload something, but then it's, like, add things to it or...
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. Yes.
So is, like, originally Snapchat was, you only had, like, 10 seconds to do it, and it was supposedly gone forever.
Yeah.
Now you can hold it and it comes back,
mm-hmm.
so it's not gone forever?
It, okay,
well,
so.
Well, you really hold it to replay it once. Sorry.
Yes, you can hold to replay once, and that option goes away after 3 seconds. But the Snapchat Corporation keeps every picture that is sent for, I believe, like, a month?
Mm-hmm.
Month, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can screen capture anything.
So you can.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah.
Forever.
Right. You can screenshot it. And anything that goes out, no matter how quickly you delete it, it's there forever. Okay. Yeah.
Is that good for Snapchat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, like, there's definitely good sides to all of these, like, apps. They're fun. They're a good way to communicate with your friends, to share pictures and things. They're definitely... is a good side, yes.
As long as you do that in a positive way.
That, yes.
And I do TikTok a lot with some of my friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. TikTok is super fun. Yeah.
We're going to keep it rolling here.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Very good. So we also need to tackle the pornography issue. Pornography is easily accessible. That is the fourth problem with the smartphone. I'll just throw some statistics out there. This will be really quick. 72% of men visit pornographic sites. 70% of 18 to 24-year-old men visit pornographic sites monthly. These are some stats here, but I mean, we've got others here. I mean, you could read them, and they're depressing to see. In 2016, people watched 4.6 billion hours of pornography at just one website. That's the biggest porn site in the world. Age 11, the average child has already been exposed to explicit pornographic content through the internet. 96% of young adults are either encouraging or accepting or neutral in their view toward pornography. 61% of pornography is watched on a mobile phone. more than half. In the United States, that is as high as 70%. Today, 33% of women age 25 and under go searching for porn at least once per month. So this is not just a problem for guys, right? Not just a problem for men. So this is a major issue. Let's go to the next slide. There are accountability tools. We use Covenant Eyes in our family. I have a $16 a month. It covers and can be installed on every device you have in your house, including your computers. And it does track all the activity on all of your devices. I would highly recommend you at least explore that and take a look at that. It's $16 well spent. It provides accountability. It will give you a report every 3 days or every week, whatever you want to do. And so what we try to do in our family is with my girls who are on, I try to do a weekly check-in and say, okay, here is the report. Talk about, tell me about this. What is this? What does this mean? You know, there, and so we go through and they know that conversation is going to happen. So it doesn't feel like a confrontation. Yep.
If you have Apple sharing, you need to get, or, and you want to download an app, Apple sharing is on, you have to, or you, it sends a message.
Notification, yeah, to notification a parent.
Right.
To, or your legal.
So there are some safeguards through Apple devices as, yeah, well, that you can look into. X3 Watch is another online accountability. So these are just possibilities to look into. I would highly recommend it. If you're hiding with an addiction to pornography, the best thing you can do is to come out and to tell someone who you trust and who loves you, who cares about you, that's the best thing you can do, and to get it out in the light, okay? So would be something we can talk about more later, but I want to give us some tools that will help. These are the tools right here. All right, let's go to problem 5, and that is our phones lie to us. Now, this comes from the book. Trevin Wax wrote a book called This Is Our Time. And in this book, you can see the slide here. This is what it looks like. And I have this book also, if you want to take a look at it afterwards. I would buy this book just for the first chapter. The first chapter is called Your Phone is a Myth Teller. And it's an outstanding book overall, but I would highly recommend this book to you. But these ideas came from this book, Our Phones Lie to Us. Here's the first lie, and that is this: you are the center of the universe. Our smartphone tells us you are the center of the universe. Here's what Trevin Wax says. He says, the smartphone tells you every day you are the center of the universe. How can I serve you? What can I do for you? How can I entertain you? It's you, you, you. And that is a lie. You're not the center of the universe, but your phone tells you are. And we can set them up that way. Let's go to the next one. The second lie is, you know what you need to know. That is a lie that the smartphone tells us. So Trevin Wax again, he says, the myth of the smartphone is that in our hands, we have all we need to gain knowledge. Because at any time we can say, hey Siri, or Alexa, or whatever device you have. Hey Google, right? You can ask anything, and we have this idea that, oh, well, I have everything I need to have knowledge. But wisdom is different than knowledge. And there are ways to gain wisdom that the smartphone can never give us. Okay, go to the next one. The third lie is, your value is based on what others think of you. That's a big one. That's a lie. These are all lies. Your value is based on what others think of you. And that's a big problem. Go to the next one. This is the commodities that are most valuable in social media are followers, likes, comments, and shares. That's the money of, if you will, of social media. And so if our likes are low, if our followers are low, if our shares are low, or comments are low, then we think that we're not valuable. But that is a lie. It's not true. So go to the next. We need good news. Don't you think we need good news? Man, this is depressing stuff when we really think about it. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. And we're going to blow through this and we'll try to have some Q&A, all right? We need good news. Gospel truth. Jesus is the center of the universe. Amen. Did you know that? Not me. I'm not the center of the universe. Jesus is the center of the universe. Now you're going to get me preaching, okay? So we got to be careful. I am a preacher, so.
The Son is the center of the universe.
S-O-N, that's right. Yeah. Jesus is the center of the universe. Listen to Colossians, how it's described in Colossians chapter 1. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Okay, go to the next one. Gospel truth number two. Jesus died on the cross for all our sins. So if you've screwed up, if you have messed up, if you have been absent, if you have fallen into a hole that you can't feel like you can even get yourself out of, you need to know Jesus died on the cross for all of your sins. Listen to what God's word says. It says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, go to the next one. Gospel truth number three. My value, here's the truth. My value is based on what God thinks of me, period. In Christ, I am a child of God. God is your father. That is the good news. That is the gospel, and that is the truth. So don't listen to your smartphone. Your value is not based on what others think of you. Your value is based on what God thinks of you. And in Christ, God loves you with an everlasting love. That's good news. That's the truth. All right, let's go to the next one. So gospel truth, based on these, you are new. You are new. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. You can be new in Christ. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Gospel truth, next gospel truth here is you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Anybody know 1 John 1:9? It's a good one. It's a good one to know. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here's the last gospel truth. You are a son, you are a daughter. Now most of us were sons in Christ. Gospel truth, you are a son, a daughter. Listen to how it's described in Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So go to the next one. Let's just wrap. This is the wrap up here. Key takeaways. If you want to jot these down, you can, but it's all in the notes. But I would say number one, set boundaries. We have to do that with money, don't we? You can't just go spend money you don't have, right? You get into big trouble. You get into debt. Set boundaries. I mean, that's true in all relationships. Regardless of whether we use smartphones, we need to set boundaries, relational boundaries, physical boundaries, spiritual boundaries. We need to set boundaries with our smartphone. So you should set boundaries for yourself and for your family. So like I said earlier, we have a charging station that is on our first floor. We sleep on the second floor. So that's a boundary for us. We say we're going to put our phones away, and we put them away sooner than sometimes my girls want to. Right? They would rather not, but we put them away so we can have time together that is unfettered by the phone. And so we make them charge it and put it away, and it's away. We don't have phones at the dinner table, period. We don't allow it. I do it, and I have to follow that too. I put it away, or it's in my pocket if I need to be close if someone's going to call for some valid reason. So boundaries, yep.
When I'm with my family, I turn my phone off when it's family time.
Yeah, or you can just turn it off. I mean, there's a lot of ways to set boundaries. However, whatever it looks like for you may be different, but set boundaries. That's why we can have different apps like Snapchat or TikTok. It's like, okay, set boundaries. And some of that we talked about earlier when we talked about time limits. So my oldest daughter here, you know, she's a freshman, and so she's on, she's talking to her friends. And so I check in with her weekly to say, okay, how are you doing with your limits? We're talking about boundaries. And if she goes over, I'm not going to come down hard on her. She knows that. It's wise to set good boundaries for yourself, for your family. Think about covenant eyes. Those are boundaries. There are different types of boundaries. Go to the next one. Be accountable. That's where the accountability comes in. To your spouse, to a trusted friend. Okay, so I've heard recently when there was a marriage that failed. And when you dig into what was going on, the wife did not have access to her husband's phone. She didn't have the passcode to her husband's phone. That shouldn't be. We should all have access. And with my kids, I know what their passcodes are on their phones. It's being accountable that we're going to say at any time we can look at your phone. That's just wise to be accountable to your spouse, to a trusted friend. And then here's another one, and that is have conversation. If you have a teenager in your life, or someone's going to be a teenager, access.org is an unbelievably good resource for equipping you as a parent, as a youth leader, as someone who has grandkids. Excellent, excellent content. I'm not going to show you a video from them, but you can go on access.org. They actually just posted this week three videos about having conversations with your teen and how to have good, healthy conversations with your teen. And they're extremely relevant culturally, right? Right, Hannah? Would you say they're pretty relevant? Yeah, they're excellent. Okay, so that's a good resource for you. Okay, go to the next one. And that's just the gospel, that you are loved, accepted, known, received, cared for by your heavenly Father. That's a huge takeaway. I don't want you to go away from here feeling discouraged. We have a heavenly Father who loves us. We do need to be wise. We need to set boundaries. We need to be held accountable when we use these devices. They're not evil. These devices aren't evil, but they can be used for great evil. But we can also use them for great good. They can be redeemed as well. So that's all I have. I'm going to open it up for questions. If anybody has questions or comments or anything that might be helpful to us, we have like 5 minutes, and I'll even let you out on time. Say, go ahead. Yeah, let's put the email. Yeah, that's good. Okay, questions. Anybody have any questions? Wow, no. You had a lot more questions for my daughter. You want me to get her back up here? So, yeah, go ahead.
So as a parent, what age do you feel is an appropriate age to say you should smartphone?
Yeah, well, that's a personal conviction issue for sure. We're more conservative with that. Okay, so Hannah just got her first smartphone as a freshman in high school. Now, she had a smartphone that wasn't connected to data or a data plan. So she had access to all these things when she was on Wi-Fi.
I get that when we turn 12.
Yeah. Right, so 12, you know, so there's different ages. You also, as a parent, you have to discern the maturity level of your child. So the child could be a very mature 12-year-old, and you can say, I'm going to trust you with this. One other thing I didn't mention, I think it is in my notes, but there's a device called the Circle, and it's actually made by Disney. It's interesting. It's a device that you hook up to your Wi-Fi in your house. And so for any device that is dependent on Wi-Fi, the Circle actually, you can set times when it actually shuts down the Wi-Fi on your kid's device. So if they're on the iPad and they're playing on a game and you want to say, you know, and it's an hour a day, whatever you want to say, as soon as they've used it for an hour, it shuts it down and there's no internet access anymore. Or you can set it, and you can set a time where, say, at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. or whatever it is, it's shut off all night long. So even if they were somehow to get up and start to want to go on the internet, they can't do it because it's shut down. So it's a really good, like, it's called the Circle. It's $100, and there's no monthly cost. I actually think we got it for $70 or something like that. It's been cheaper. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get, but it's just a device, and it's not a monthly fee. It's just, it sets it up, and then I control it from my phone. If I want to add minutes, so like sometimes my daughter will be texting. I have another daughter in middle school. She'll be texting her friends, but she's run out of time. So she'll say, Dad, can you add some more time? Okay, yeah, I'll give you 15 more minutes. And then it's it. So that it's a way to kind of help with that. But yeah, for us, we're more conservative. I mean, all the schools have Wi-Fi. And so if they have an iPod that works on the internet, they can text us when they're at school. So this idea of, well, I have to be able to contact you. Okay, well, you're at school. You should be able to text us at school. So I know Hannah hates it. You know, she was like the last one in her friend group to get a smartphone. But that's just where we landed on it. So, yeah.
The title of this presentation is "When the Truth Might Come, the One Screen to Rule Them All." I follow this technology stuff pretty regularly. I mean, the cryptocurrency and different things of that nature. One thing I've been really kind of freaked out about is the 5G network that's rolling out.
Oh, 5G, yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That credit score gets below a certain, you can't buy plane tickets, you can't buy train tickets, you can't even buy groceries at the store. How do you feel about that? As far as, you know, that being rolled out already in China,
mm-hmm.
You know, do you kind of have any idea, comments on that?
Well, I don't know enough about it. You would know a lot more than I do. You know, in terms of government control, is that what you're saying with 5G and right? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it could be.
Some people say that the smartphone is like an Android, you know, it's a robot that lives with you.
Right.
Any of you guys have ever experienced your phone ringing in your pocket, but then you go to look and it's not, you know, and 2 minutes later it rings, and they say there's a symbiotic connection that's forming there. Some say we're in the fourth industrial revolution here.
Right.
The technology we have in our hands is so great, so immense. You know, we're sitting here talking about TikTok and making stupid videos on, you know, we have information here at our fingertips like none other in history. I can reach millions of people with one, you know, message, and yet I'm sending a picture of my food, my plate. You know,
right. Yeah, I think it's just good to be aware of what we're posting. I've heard things where it's like when you're on vacation, don't post pictures of when you're on vacation because you're just asking people to rob you.
Yes.
Right? Hey, we're having a great time in Hawaii. We won't be back till next week. Here's our address. And the key's under the front mat in the porch. Our garage code is... You're not saying that, but we don't think about it, do we? We got to be aware of that. We just got to be aware of what's going on around us. And maybe people will start to revert back to flip phones. Who knows? Or burner phones where it's like people don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
What are you doing with church meetings and things when everybody comes in and lays their phones down and trying to get something done? People are constantly scooting away from the table to answer a text or something. Have you tried anything with that? It's not just church, but I mean, predominantly, you know, you have a meeting and everybody lays their phone down.
Right, right. At church or at home or?
Church.
Right.
I'm just saying church meetings.
Yeah, like in staff meetings or in church as a whole meetings.
Like committee meetings.
Committee meetings. Yeah, I mean, we at least from our experience, from my experience, it hasn't been an issue where people are, you know, absent and they're on their phones and they're not paying attention. I would probably ask for people to put their phone away if it becomes a problem. You know, staff meetings, we don't typically have an issue. We do have sometimes people have a phone on the table, but it's for me, it's not been an issue enough to say, okay, we're not going to have phones in here. Some people do have legitimate reasons to need to be contacted by someone if something's going on. And so it's just a fine balance of trying to set proper boundaries. Again, it comes back to boundaries. Okay, you guys have lots of questions, don't you? Or comments?
Can I go first? Sure.
We're over time. Do you want to talk after? Can we talk after?
Sure.
Okay. Anybody else? Good? Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yep.
If you have an iPhone, Siri's always listening.
Hold on.